Hi friends, thank you so much for tuning in to Real Estate with Caroline Bone. Today, my podcast is from a recording I had with the Coup Media, which was basically an interview about the real estate market in California and how COVID has basically changed the market. And for anyone that's looking to get started in running a business and running social media, how to go about it.
You know, you guys know on this channel, we talk about a little bit of everything, but you really can't go into 21 without talking about real estate because there's a lot of uncertainty, right? Some areas are doing good, some areas are doing bad. So I wanted to make sure that I got someone, an expert in the biz, to talk from their point of view. So today in this show, I have a special guest. She goes by the name of Caroline Bone. And why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself to the people?
Hi, guys. My name is Caroline. I'm a real estate agent with RE/MAX right here in Southern California. My office is located in Rancho Cucamonga, but I do serve OC, LA, Riverside, and San Bernardino County. Been a realtor for the past 6 years now and adapting to every changing market since then. Yeah.
So if you guys heard, I mean, you guys heard her say she's based out of Southern California. So that's definitely a unique region here in America, especially when you talk about this whole crisis and how it's impacted it. But more specifically, she says she's from Rancho Cucamonga. So yes, people, that is a real place. I know most of us weren't sure from, you know, next Friday, but it is a real place. And it's not only a place where, you know, people go to, you know, when they want to escape the hood and go to the suburbs, right? They actually got real hustlers there. And I got one with me right now. So
yes.
The first thing I actually want to talk to you about is not actually even real estate. I want to focus on social media because I follow you on social media. I think you do a really good job when it comes to marketing yourself. And I think a lot of people could learn from you and your approach in doing so, right? If they're looking to grow a business or grow a community and all those different things. So when it comes to social media, so let me take a step back, right? I think social media, when it comes to social media, it's a lot easier for people who are younger, right? Because they kind of, you know, been doing it their whole life. But when you have people who've been working, right, and they have like experience in a certain field, it's hard to kind of take a step backwards and start from zero, right? There's a big like mental hurdle to actually want to jump in and be like, you know, try to expose yourself to the world to get that traction. So can you talk about your mind state for the mind state and the hurdles for you when it came to, you know, deciding that you were going to go all in social media and do whatever it took to, you know, increase your following and turn that into business?
So I think, especially for older people, you know, older than millennials, I would say to anyone that's out there that might be starting a business or a side hustle, social media, it's actually very easy. The platforms are so user-friendly. But my advice would be just start. Just start showing up. Show up with a purpose, show up with good faith, and show up because someone out there will be listening to what you have to say, will be taking your advice. It will all start to come together as you're starting and as you're doing it, as you're putting the puzzle of social media together. So that would be my advice. And also right now, what's happening is with this whole shutdown, quarantine, COVID-19, a lot of businesses, and we're talking about big brands, luxurious brands, are turning to social media like Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, LinkedIn to start promoting their brands because people are now watching as much TV. Like for myself, I don't even have the cable. All I have is Amazon Prime, so there's no commercial there. So brands cannot reach me. How they can reach me is on my social media. So you have to start thinking like a business and putting your content out there. And honestly, pictures on social media are pretty much dead, in my opinion. I saw it 2-3 years ago. You have to go on, turn on the camera on your phone and start recording.
So can you, I guess, dig a little bit deeper when it comes to that? Because I think that is the hardest part for most people. Because, you know, obviously we all know that, you know, people put on whatever you could call it, personas, or they're fake or whatever, on social media. That's one of the big things, right? But the key is really to just expose yourself, right? To show the rest of the world who you are, but also your expertise, right? But that's, you know, that's something that I think you do very well, but other people struggle with. So, you know, how do you get mentally prepared before you turn on, you know, record, to make sure that, you know, one, you're exposing the world to the, you know, exposing yourself to the rest of the world, but also two, you know, not feeling scared of the perception that people may have of you because you're, you know, maybe a little bit out there.
Right. So that is such an interesting question, and I could talk about this for days, but you should know no one cares what you look like. I have braces, I wear glasses, I'm French Canadian, I have an accent, but no one truly cares if you're wearing makeup, if you're not wearing makeup, if you're dressed professional, if you're just, you know, in the comfort of your home, in your sweat. People care about what you have to say. And when you start showing up as your true self, not putting up a persona or, you know, trying to be someone you're not, or show up like fake, if we can say, this is when your true people will join your journey. So just be yourself. Don't pay too much attention about what you look like or how you sound or et cetera, because people will appreciate that.
So before we get into the next question, I do want to shout out to Arthur in the chat room. What up? I appreciate that you are a fan of the show. Hope you keep tuning in, and hope you get something from this show as well. So you made a key point. You mentioned that people would follow you in your journey, right? Because that's really what it is, a journey. I mean, I think a lot of people, when they start, they think of it more as of just like a A to B stop. Like, okay, I'm going to do this and it's going to take me here. But it's not, it doesn't go anything like that, right? It really truly is a journey. And once you start walking, you have an idea where you want to go, but you don't know how you're going to get there, right? So I guess talk more about that, like just, you know, adjusting on the fly as you go.
So because the world is constantly changing and so are the platforms, all you have to do is go one step at a time, one day at a time, one post at a time. Don't think too much in the future because the platforms are not ours. And sometimes I see people complaining about how the platforms are becoming, but the platforms are not ours. You have the opportunity to come and show up and be yourself, but don't focus too much on the loud noise, you know, getting all ready and having perfect lighting and saying the perfect words all the time. It doesn't happen like that. It takes time. It takes practice. You know, let's say you were to start right now. The way I started in 2016 versus the way I am now, I have grown tremendously. You watch my first YouTube video, I don't even know what's going on, you know? But I have learned, I have worked my craft, my skills have grown as well. And that's going to happen for everyone, for everyone.
Mike Knight coming all the way from the UK. I definitely appreciate you taking the time. It's kind of late over there. You could be doing, you know, getting your kids ready for breakfast. You could just be relaxing with your two, then what else? So I appreciate you tuning in. And yes, you're right. I think that is a big hurdle, people wanting to be perfect, right? And I think one thing that we all learned from 2020 is that nothing is going to be perfect, right? Like, right. You can't expect perfect. There's never, you know, a right answer for everybody, right? To your point, things are always changing. You got to be able to adapt. So with that being said, I mean, how did you see, you know, how did your business adapt from the beginning of 2020 to the end of 2020? What, you know, what changed for you?
So as of right now, this time of this recording, real estate agents, we are not able to hold open houses. We cannot door knock. And cold calling, which is our way of doing business. This is how we get clients normally in the regular world. Cold calling is very difficult because people are already going through a struggle. And because the inventory is so low, it's difficult to find the leads that we were in the past getting. So for me, it was the perfect opportunity and what I've been working on for many, many years to turn my business completely to social media and turn on, you know, the camera, the microphone, the light, and let's go. Because last year, 85% of my clients came from online business. So social media, Zillow, referral, but et cetera. So 85% of my customers came from social media, and I know that I did the right thing. You know, I'm coming with good intention. I want to educate people about real estate because it's such a hidden subject. Kids are not taught any of that in school, which ultimately real estate, once you acquire real estate, it changes your life. So yeah. That's been my.
So that's crazy. You said 85% of your business came for real estate. So would you say you did better last year than the year before? Was it worse? How did it?
Well, to be completely honest, I did great last year. I had a goal of 5 million in sales. I did reach it and I was very happy. The year before, unfortunately, I went through a hard time. I went through a divorce. So I wasn't 100% into my business, but 2020 came and everything was, the coast was clear and I went all in. And
so do you think other real estate agents, the average real estate agent was, you know, had the same success as you? Do you think they maybe not the same success as you, but that they, you know, their business did well? Or do you think the average real estate agent did worse because they weren't able to adapt? I mean, what's your feeling?
So what I know, and I haven't looked at the data, but what I know is last year, unfortunately, a lot of people left the business, and because there was less realtors that were actually working, I do know that a lot of realtors that were actively working every day, full time, did well as well. Yes.
I think that's very interesting, and I think it also proves the point of just like market corrections, right? Because there's a lot of, you know, there's a top, you know, there's a lot, you know, everyone knows there's bubbles everywhere, and but there's different opinions on how to handle the bubbles, for example, right? Like some people think that you should just let the economy crash and, you know, the strong people would rise, and other people think that you should go in and, you know, do stimulus and pay people and try to keep as many people employed as possible. But I think this is a perfect example of, one, it forced you to improve your game, right? It forced you to become a better realtor. But two, you know, just because there's tragedy in the market doesn't mean that it's bad for everybody, right? The strong will survive. The people who belong there, the people who are doing what it takes to generate business, they're going to keep it moving, right? But you got to be willing to adjust and improve yourself in that process. The weak, they'll fall and they'll have to go do something else, which is fine, right? Because you don't want too many realtors in the market, just like you don't want too many of anything in the market, right? So, I guess, how do you, that was just a statement I wanted to make. But in addition to that, since we're talking about the crisis and all that different type of stuff, I mean, how do you see that impacting you and your region, right? Because it's different for everyone, but how do you see that impacting you in Southern California?
So honestly, the government, I believe, and hands up to them, they've been doing their job as far as not letting the economy fall apart, right? With stimulus checks, with business loans, with unemployment, etc. But as far as real estate, they've been maintaining the low interest rate on mortgage. So what does that do to the real estate market is it generates a lot of home buyers that couldn't qualify or now are able to have a higher mortgage loan and really go ahead and buy their dream home. And that created a lot of activity, a lot of demand. and there's been low supply in my market area of houses for sale. So we've seen a lot of activity, a lot of offers, bidding wars, etc. And basically homeowners that were selling their property, walking away with top dollar, and buyers getting into properties or getting their offer rejected and just keep on looking. So it's been a very good market if you're able to get clients in that sort of thing. Now, as far as for investment property, for owners that own rentals, you know, the tenants don't need to pay, or they can go in forbearance, etc. So I do think that with time, probably not this year, but in the future, that is going to have a domino effect on the market. So it's stay tuned. But right now, the interest rate, the feds are keeping the interest rate very low. So we're still seeing a lot of home buyers out there on the market.
So what type of trends are you seeing when it comes to like where people are moving or where they're moving from? I mean, because like the common theme that you hear everybody talk about is people moving from the city, going further out. Are you seeing that?
What I've always seen in Southern California, it's people that are working and living in, per se, Los Angeles, moving to the suburb, to the Inland Empire, etc., to other counties where it's less expensive. In other words, you get more house for your money. And that's always what I've seen from LA, from Orange County, or even San Diego, moving up north, all of that. Yeah, that's always what we've seen.
Okay. So I do want to give a shout out to Yannix in the chats. Mentioned that this guy's always on point. Thanks. I appreciate you. And I'm not sure if it's a she or a he with the name Yannix. I think it's a he. But he also said no job security. And I completely agree. I mean, we all got to be able to take, you know, our destiny in our own hands, right? So it's crucial to make sure that you're going to continue to evolve and add new skills, right? Because, you know, it's a completely different world than 2010 and 2000, right? So if you're not evolving with the times, you're just going to get left behind. Now, you mentioned that right now, you know, the market is getting propped up from the government. And it's really preventing a lot of tragedy in the market, right? Whether it's foreclosures, right, bankruptcies. And to your point again, it is going to have a ripple effect across the board. I guess, what signs are you seeing in the market? And how do you, what's your prediction, right? Obviously, again, different people, different regions are going to have different circumstances. Right. But when you look at your market, you know, what do you see happening in the long term from the effects of this crisis?
So back in fall, I was talking about it a lot. And I know you mentioned this is how you first encounter my content. I believe that by the end of this year, there was going to be short sales, foreclosure, auction properties, and then the property values were going to start depreciating. That's what I believed. And there was a few signs. We were seeing properties with tenants getting, you know, getting on the market. The sellers were trying to sell. We're seeing foreclosure, HUD homes. We were seeing a little bit of that. Now, the government came and said, okay, well, we're giving you a stimulus check, second business loan, which is called the PPP, SBA, unemployment. So as long as the government keep injecting money like that, I mean, they're going to sustain the economy. But I believe still, how long can they do that? How long can they go and get money that the country doesn't have? Anyways, so I believe that it's just a matter of time nationwide until property values start depreciating, and there, because there's going to be more homes on the market, people that cannot afford their homes anymore are in such deep into forbearance, etc., that it's going to happen. I don't think this year, but I do believe by 2022, we're going to start seeing that change. It's not going to be as bad as 2008, but it will be similar.
Okay. So I definitely agree with you. I think eventually we're going to hit a point where things just get bad. I disagree with you that it's not going to be as bad as 2008. I actually think it's going to be worse. just because there's going to be more people left unemployed and all of that. But either way, I mean, it's bad. If you're comparing it to 2008, you know, it's going to be bad for a lot of people. But on the flip side, it's going to be good because for them, people who are looking to invest, you know, this would be a time for them as well.
Yes.
Right. So, you know, there's pros and cons to both. But so let me hop back in. So someone asked a question and want to get your take on it. So Yannick asked, you know, how can you ever pay off a 30-year loan without job security? Sounds like a lot more stress in owning a home, in my opinion. And I definitely get that point of view. You know, some people believe in renting and possibly using, you know, that down payment money to invest instead. Other people believe in your home is your best investment. So, you know, get it in a good neighborhood and, you know, bank on that appreciation. You are a realtor. You deal with people with every type of scenario. Obviously, you don't want to push people away from certain ideas because that may, you know, impact your business. But at the same time, I mean, how do you see that as well? How do you see the comparison of getting a 30-year loan and buying a house versus renting and maybe using that money to invest instead?
So of all the investment, and I am an investor as well, right? I invest in real estate. I invest in the stock market. I do things as well. But in my market, buying a property is pretty much the most, the biggest investment that you will do as far as getting your return on your money. Because in California, property value appreciates 4%. Throughout every year. So that is bad years, good years, it could be more, but it covers for everything, right? That's just like a general percentage. So when you own a property, and even if you don't have a down payment, because there's loan programs that can help you with that, when the property value goes up, you're able to refinance and reduce your mortgage amount. When you're doing monthly payments, just as the same as if you were renting, but when you're doing monthly payments on your mortgage, you are little by little reducing your mortgage payment. So how can you pay that faster than 30 years? Well, from the first statement that you get, you can pay, even if it's $200, right? Additional to your mortgage payment, so you're reducing the loan. You can always refinance when you have enough equity and reduce that loan amount with the current value that you have. Any bonus that you get from your job or any extra money that you make, or if you're getting a return from your taxes, there's multiple ways to pay off a 30-year mortgage loan. It's very possible if you're really, you know, you say, okay, well, in 15 years, I don't want to have any mortgage. But you have to come up with a plan, of course.
And so, execute that plan.
Yes.
But, no, good point, because a lot of people don't think of it that way. You know, as soon as they get extra money, they're thinking about spending that money instead of putting it to use, right?
Let's buy another car. You know, let's buy some Gucci.
Mm-hmm. But then you have that 30-year mortgage. Right. So I definitely agree with that point. Another thing I would like to add to that is also just considering not getting a 30-year mortgage. Right. There are 20-year, 15-year, 10-year mortgages. Right. So if your goal, and then also that, too, you know, that reduces the overall amortization or pretty much your overall loan cost that you're going to have, you know, over time. Absolutely. Right. So if that's your biggest fear, just get that shorter term loan. Right.
Absolutely.
But on the flip side, I'm on the camp of renting and investing, right? I would much rather, at this stage in my life, I would much rather just use a down payment to invest, right? So there's no right or wrong answer, but at the same time, depending on the route, but whatever route you go, you got to make sure that, you know, you're taking the right actions to fit your goals, right? Because if you're not doing what you're supposed to do in order to reach your goals, then you're never going to reach your goals, and both sides are going to be, like, it doesn't matter where you go, it's just going to end up bad. So good point and good information. Now, to let you guys know, I only got Caroline for a couple more minutes, so let me ring off a couple. If you have any questions, put them in. We have another one I want to throw to you. Arthur asks, is a better investment land or property in the next 2 years? You have any thoughts on that?
Can you repeat that?
What's the better investment in the next 10 years, land or property?
You can go about it two ways. If I were thinking of investing in the next 10 years, which I am currently doing in Southern California, I can only speak for that because I'm not watching other states right now, but I would buy a vacation home and, you know, obviously renting out through Airbnb, using their system, find the property manager and just let it sit. Anywhere across the U.S., I would buy an Airbnb next to a national park, because national parks right now are becoming very famous because of social media. Especially with COVID, people can't travel outside the country, so they take their kids to historical parks, etc. So that land, there are some places that lands very, very slowly, sometimes don't even gain any value. There is some places where it does, but if you have money, Airbnb is the way to go right now for the next 10 years, for the next decade at least. Same thing.
That's a great point. I haven't heard anyone talk about the national park thing. You know, setting up an Airbnb by there for all the reasons that you mentioned. And I think that's something that people on the East Coast, which may be harder because you don't have as many national parks, but something people on the East Coast probably never think about. Because me personally, I'm from the East Coast, lived in New York, lived in Florida. So, you know, that's not a thing that people do. You go to the beach or you go to the city, right? But you're not going to national parks.
People can buy a vacation home next to Disney. You want mm-hmm. to buy something close to a big attraction in your city. Mm-hmm. In New York City, I would probably buy a condo, a townhome in New York City or in Brooklyn. You just have to be creative, and you can go on Airbnb and search your market area and see what's renting and what's popular and where are the properties located. Always.
No, great point. You know, go where the people are going, go where the traffic is going. But I just wanted to point that out because, you know, it's just something that you don't hear, you know, get an Airbnb by a national park. But when you look at most of the country, you know, there's national parks everywhere that are beautiful, people are flocking to. It's a great idea and great point there. And the thing that I would add when it comes to the land, I mean, to her point, you know, that's a more difficult play because yeah. You're really banking on the future. You really got to know what's going on in that area or that region to know, okay, they're building some shopping centers here. There's more communities that are getting built up around here. You know, you got to know that kind of information.
Yeah, and the problem with that is, and unfortunately, realtors don't pay too much attention to land. Most realtors, not all of them, but generally speaking, pay more interest to residential properties, not land.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you're thinking about land, Arthur, you got to take that into account. But also think about what can you sell, or how can you profit from that land? Like, you know, depending where it is, maybe it could be a parking lot, and you could make money, you know, during football season or baseball season or something like that, or are you going to build something on it, right? What are you going to eventually, you know, build, you know, commercial buildings, build a house, build a duplex, have it open for RVs? Like, you know, are you going to try to sell something on that land, right? Yeah. So I think that's something you must consider. You know, you got to take all that stuff into account if you want to profit for something like that, because you could get stuck holding that land for 5, 10, 20 years and not making anything on it.
And it happens a lot. So, yeah.
Yeah, more times than not. So, yeah, I don't want to keep